We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
Welcome back to Inside Public Accounting, the podcast where we give you the stories behind the numbers. IPA have all the data. They do the research, they do the surveys, and they bring this to you in this very special weekly show. Today, we're talking about something that is top of mind for just about every firm leader right now, compensation. Not just the salaries, but what firms are really paying for, where the pressure is showing up, and how comp decisions are shaping firm strategy. I'm thrilled to have with me today my co-host from IPA. It's Chelsea Summers. Chelsea, this is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is one of the topics where I think the data tells a much more nuanced story than the headlines. It's really easy to say personnel costs are up, but the why and the how, they matter a lot more than just the numbers themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like comp's not just a HR issue. It used to be. The benefits, the comp, the salaries, everything else, but it's merged into a profitability issue, a retention issue, maybe even a leadership issue. So we're digging into this on the back of a really successful episode we did recently on revenue per full-time employee, which really opened up that metric. So we're digging into what your 2025 IPA practice management and HR data is really telling us. So let's start with the big picture. Let's set some context. Personnel costs, obviously they're going to hover around and maybe half of net revenue for many firms. That seems to be the standard metric, but that's not new. But the pressure feels different, Chelsea, this year.
Yeah, it really does. I think what we're seeing is that firms can't rely on growth alone anymore to absorb compensation increases. So for several years, firms were able to grow fast enough that those rising salaries didn't feel quite as painful. That's no longer a given in a lot of firms.
So the margin cushion's getting thinner, isn't it?
Much thinner, especially for those firms, those mid-size, mid-market firms between 20 and 150 million in revenue. These firms are large enough to feel competitive pressures on pay. They're competing against those large or big four firms, but they're not always large enough to have the pricing power or leverage that the biggest firms do.
And that's where I'm hearing a lot of conversations happening, because comp's becoming a strategic conversation. It's not just an annual budget line. It's not just a HR chart. It's one of the things that really stands out from the data they're producing is how these salary increases are being moderated, how they're being calibrated. They're not just collapsing, but they're definitely coming off the highs we saw in the last few years, maybe even during the COVID years.
Yeah, that's right. And firms are still giving raises, but I think they're being more intentional about those raises.
Right.
The era of the across the board increases just to keep everybody happy is really fading.
Yeah. So firms are not pulling back so much. They've still got to be competitive in the talent market, but they've been a little bit more judicious, I suppose, with the way they're dishing out comp.
Yeah, we're seeing firms differentiate much more by experience level, by performance, and by roles. Entry level and early career professionals are still seeing meaningful increases, but firms are paying closer attention to who they're investing in and why.
Yeah, and I've seen the acronym COLA in your data, and these are still in play, but at low levels. So just unpack that for us.
Yeah. So cost of living adjustments, those haven't disappeared, but they're smaller. They were much larger during the COVID era, where there was a push to kind of bring everybody up. Firms are trying to balance fairness with sustainability for the firm, and especially as those inflationary pressures start to normalize.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of one of the big shifts is how sharply firms are differentiating comp by experience. They're bringing in that band.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. So the mid-level professionals, those with like about 3 to 8 years of experience, those continue to be a major focus for firms. These are the people that the firms can't afford to lose.
Well, they're the managers, the partners, the leaders of the future, aren't they? That's your whole succession plan right there.
Yeah, and they're also the most mobile. Firms are allocating a disproportionate share of compensation dollars to really protect that group.
And meanwhile, from what I can see, there's lots of tougher questions being asked about roles that are being more standardized, more automated, more easily leveraged.
Yeah, I want to be careful here, because it doesn't mean firms are starting to think that salaries don't matter. They absolutely do. If you look at starting pay over time, firms have moved entry-level salaries from around $48,000 in the mid-2000s to nearly $68,000 today. That's a really meaningful increase. And firms had to do that just to stay in the game and attract people into accounting.
This is off topic, but I do hear that the starting salaries for law professionals are higher than accounting professionals from a comparable degree. I know it's not in IPA's remit, but I wonder how that might change over time. But listen, let's stay on topic, Chelsea, because firms didn't start raising salaries because they wanted to. This was a market force that was driving them. They had to.
Yeah. And starting pay has become really a recruitment tool and a signal to the market about whether the profession is viable for new grads. Where firms are drawing a line is on automatic escalation beyond that entry level point.
And that's where the operating models come in.
Yes. When firms look at work that can be standardized or automated or offshored, they're less willing to let compensation for those roles keep climbing at the same pace it did over the last decade. What the ratios show is that while entry-level pay has risen, partner compensation has risen faster overall. The equity partner to two-year salary ratio is still close to 9-1, even after all of these increases.
So the message is clear. We won't pay juniors. We need to leverage the work that everyone's doing.
Yeah. Firms are saying, like, we'll pay competitively to get people in the door. But long-term pay growth has to be tied to upskilling, to your judgment, to your leadership, and not just you've been here for 5 years, here's your automatic increase. If everything escalates forever, that isn't going to work. Not everybody can become a partner. Not everybody can get 20% raises every year.
That's such a good point, because accounting traditionally as a career path has been, you come in at the bottom end, you serve your time, you do your tenure, as you say, and you'll get rewarded. Eventually 10, 15, 20 years, you'll make partner, and so it goes. But there's much more nuanced complexity in here. And I guess this is explaining why firms are being more intentional about their comp and their career paths.
Yeah. Compensation is starting to reinforce the idea that not every role is going to follow the same trajectory. Firms are protecting starting salaries to keep the pipeline alive, but they also are reserving their biggest pay growth for roles that drive differentiation and client value and future leadership.
Well, let's talk about the leaders in the pack, the partners, the executive board, because this is where compensation becomes really sensitive.
It does. Partner compensation data tells a story about how firms see their future. So non-equity partner compensation has grown modestly, but the share of the partnership pool has declined slightly, so less non-equity partners than there used to be.
So they're tightening their structures.
Yeah, I think firms are being more deliberate about who becomes equity and how profits are distributed. And I think this is often tied to succession planning and to generational transitions inside the firm.
That speaks a bit to governance, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think firms are aligning pay with leadership expectations to growth responsibility and strategic contribution, not just production or tenure.
And I wonder if the firms that are private equity owned are feeling the squeeze on those efficiencies and all of those expectations, those governance metrics. Chelsea, another theme we're seeing in the data is firms leaning more heavily on bonuses and benefits instead of those permanent and fixed salary increases.
Yeah, I think variable compensation gives the firm flexibility. So we're seeing continued use of bonuses tied to performance, to CPA exam completion, and retention milestones.
And there's a smorgasbord of benefits, isn't it? They continue to expand all the many benefits.
They do, especially benefits tied to flexibility and well-being. So firms are often substituting lifestyle benefits for additional salary growth as a way to manage fixed costs while still staying competitive.
And that ties directly into what employers are saying they value, particularly the younger staff, and which is a good thing. Yeah. But it appears that despite the significant investment that's going into comp and benefits, the turnover in firms, particularly voluntary turnover, is still significant.
Yeah, compensation matters, but it's not acting alone. Most turnover is still voluntary, which tells us that people are leaving for reasons possibly beyond pay.
I did a master's in human resources, and I learned about hygiene factors and how things that are meant to move the dial don't always move the dial. And I guess that's why some firms are getting frustrated with the money that they're offering and it's not doing its job.
Yeah, firms are saying we're paying more than ever. Why are people still leaving? Mm. I think the data shows that compensation is table stakes. It really gets you in the game, but it doesn't win it for you.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. So culture, workload predictability, career clarity. I often speak about having some autonomy in your career, having your hands on the steering wheel of your own career and having some choice. This is where firms either keep people or lose them. So let's land this for the leaders, for the partners in who are listening to this. What do they actually do with what we're sharing today, Chelsea?
Yeah, so I think compensation strategy has to align with pricing strategy inside your firm. You can't outpay weak margins. Also, blanket raises are giving way to target investments. And I think that's a healthy shift.
And you speak a lot, Chelsea, about transparency, the importance of people at the top, telling people lower down what actually is going on and who's getting what. So it matters here, doesn't it?
It does. Firms that can explain why they pay the way they do are better positioned, even if they're not the highest payer in the market.
So what we're learning here, good people, is that compensation is no longer about the numbers. It's about the trust and the connection within firms. And it's important for you firm leaders and owners to know what's happening with these levers, which is why Inside Public Accounting is so valuable. It's the only place you'll get this kind of data for you to make sense of what's going on, not just in your firms, but in other firms comparable to yours. So stay tuned to the show as we'll be diving more into the specific metrics from IPA's data in coming episodes.
Yeah, and as always, if you want to benchmark your own firm against the data, the IPA reports are designed to give you that apples to apples view. And also make sure you're participating in the IPA Practice Management Survey, which is now open. If you are interested in participating and your firm doesn't, feel free to reach out to me and I will point you in the right direction.
Thank you for listening and watching. If you found this helpful, insightful, be sure to subscribe and share it with your partner's leadership team and anyone else you think would find it useful. We appreciate you joining us.
And we'll see you next time on the Inside Public Accounting Podcast.